All right. If you will, let's turn to Psalm 15. Psalm 15. We have five short verses here in this psalm. And it would be easy if this was a song. We probably wouldn't stand up. It'd take longer to stand up and sit down than it would to sing it. It's pretty short, isn't it? But this psalm, if the Lord would give us understanding, this will shut up the self-righteous. Those that are trying to work for salvation, this is plainly and clearly going to put an end to it. And if the Lord gives us sight to see, this is about our Lord Jesus Christ. This magnifies Him. It lifts Him up. And boy, if I can just scratch the surface, we ought to have our jaws dropped. And this ought to give comfort to every sinner that's needy, that needs mercy, that needs grace. Boy, what a surety we have. What a sure foundation we can stand on. He says in verse 1, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? The Lord answers him. David asks two questions, and the Lord gives him an answer. He that walketh uprightly, and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. That seems a little out of order to you. There's some things, like he's talking about usury at the end. He's going to put himself to hurt. And it starts out making people can see it pretty clearly, right? There's three things that you do. How am I going to get to heaven? That's what David's asking. How am I going to be in your presence, Lord? He gives us three things to do. And then he gives us three things you can't do. Don't you do these things. Don't. And then he says something here about in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, contented, hated, despised, in verse 4. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. That's justice. That's holiness. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. David's asking here, who can walk with God? He says in verse 1, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? That means who can sojourn in your tabernacle? Who can be in your presence on this earth? Who can walk with God? And who can spend a little bit of time in your presence? And then he asks again, who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Who's going to spend eternity with you, Lord? He asks those two separate things. We'll see at the end what the Lord's answer is to that. Who can be with you? Who can abide with you? Who can be in His presence now? And who can go to heaven? That's what David's asking. We ought to take this question very seriously. Throughout the Scriptures, the Lord deals with this plainly, doesn't he? He said, there'll come a day the Son's going to judge this earth. And I'm going to put the goats on my left, the sheep on my right. People's going to come to me and say, we've preached in your name, Lord. We've healed in your name. We've prophesied in your name. We've took demons out of people, cast out devils in your name. We've done all these wonderful things in your name. And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. It's going to be a lot of people. I wish mankind would get that through their head. There's going to be a whole mess of preachers standing there. That's who he's talking about. And he's going to say, I don't know you. Go away. And then to the other, he'll say, come. Well done, my good and faithful servant. That'll be the very ones that say, Lord, when did we ever cast out? We never saw you hungry. We never saw you in prison. He said, if you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. Come. Come. What's the difference in them two people? This whole world's concerned about everything. Everything. We're worried about life. Me, and me too. I live here. Power's going up. Meat's going up. What's going on? Taxes are going up. Pay's going down. What are we going to do? Who can go to heaven? That's plain talk. I speak as a man, as Paul said. But who's going to get to go to heaven? Every one of us is going to meet our Maker. Everybody. Everybody. Every man, woman, and child that comes into this earth is going to meet their Maker. And we all take this question very seriously. Most people do not take it very seriously. And I'll worry about that when the time comes. The time may come right now. Time may come before I get through preaching tonight. We all take it seriously. Some may be on their deathbed. Well, then they start wondering, don't they? Then the deals come out. Let's make a deal. It's a little late for quid pro quo. It's a little late for this and that. What are you going to do? Try to do something right 15 minutes before you die? It's a sad place to be. Most people think they're going to heaven. Most people think most people are going to heaven. If you don't think so, go to a funeral. Have you ever been to a funeral and they said that person laying in front of you right now died, left this world a God-hating rebel? So most people leave this world. But no, in our nature, we justify by death. That's what our old man does. It mimics God. God took a people. And by the death of His Son, He justified them. Made them holy before Himself in love. And man says, well, just because they died, they must be in heaven. I don't want to assume. When David asked, Lord, who's going to be in your presence? Right now and in eternity to come, who's going to be in your presence? I don't want to just assume I know the answer. I want to hear what God has to say about it. When we go through this text tonight, I want to look at it three different ways. I want to go through it three times briefly. First, what's the law say? The Lord gives us an answer. Who's going to go to heaven? He tells us. That ought to convict us. That ought to shut us up to our sin and seek the substitution of another. And then we're going to see that this is Christ. He's fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. He's fulfilled these laws. And then we'll see this as the believer. The believer can read this and say, that's me. You won't feel it. First time we read it, we'll say, this is me the first time. But that new creation will say, this is right. Because of Him, I can say this, and I can come in His presence. I can come boldly before His throne of grace. If you notice here first, David asked this question, and who he asked this question to, he says, Lord. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? You ever ask a person who's going to go to heaven? You ever ask a person who knows God and who can be in His presence? Boy, you get a lot of answers. You get a lot of them. If you ask a Church of Christ member, they'll say baptized. Somebody that's been baptized, that's who's going to go to heaven. That's all you got to do, baptize them. Dunk them in some water, they'll go. Ask an Arminian. They accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. They made a decision for poor, little, old, wanting Jesus. Then you get to go to heaven. That's what man says. Ask a Catholic. They got a litany of things. You could go to a confession booth. Have some man pray over you after you're dead. Eat some sacraments. Be baptized at birth. Or after you're dead, if somebody else gives me enough money. Is that any different than other things? Any more nonsensical? Ask a Pentecostal. Charismatic. Can you speak in tongues? I spoke in tongues last week. People go to work where I grew up and say, boy, the Holy Spirit was on me. I was speaking in tongues. I said, which tongue was it? Was it Spanish or French? Or maybe y'all go back and read Acts again. I don't think you got a good handle on this. And that right off the top of your heads. But people have a lot of different things to say, don't they? What's Grandma and Grandpa say? Well, you just be a good little boy and girl. It's all hogwash, every bit of it. And I don't care what an organization says. I don't care what a man says. I don't care what a lady says or what a sweet little blue-haired person that loves me dearly says. What's God say? I told a man that recently. I said, you know what God says about that? He said, I don't care. Hush. At least he had the nerve to say plainly what he thought. Most people just go, huh. Well, that's something to consider. Well, what's the difference? There ain't no difference, is there? Here's what God has to say about it. We remember we just read there in Matthew 22 when they said, what's the greatest commandment? And the Lord said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Look here in verse 2, Psalm 15, verse 2. Lord, who can be in your presence? Who's going to go to heaven? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh truth in his heart. Who's going to dwell with God? A person that liveth uprightly. That's what walketh means. Notice all the ETHs too. It says you do it for a little while. This is from the get-go to the end. You walketh uprightly. That means you live perfectly. From a child, from conception, all through your childhood, when you're a three-year-old, when you're in the terrible twos, all the way to death. You want to be with God? You want to dwell in His presence? And a holy God? You're going to have to walketh, liveth your whole life uprightly, perfectly. And it says there, and worketh righteousness. What's that? You're going to have to work completely. Everything that you do, a product of your hand, of your mouth, of your thoughts, is going to have to satisfy God's holy law at all times. Honoring Him. Willfully doing that. Who's going to go to heaven? That's what God says. They're going to have to do that. And speaketh truth in his heart. They has truth in their heart. That's what comes out of the lips. Not half-truths. You ever told half-truth? Have I lived from conception? Was I conceived? Not in sin. Was I shapen? Not in iniquity. Did I come out of my mother's womb speaking lies? Or have I been upright? It's one or the other. Cut and dry, black and white. Everything I've ever done, have I done it unto the Lord inside the confines of His holy law, willingly? Lord, thank you for letting me swing this hammer. I mean, every swing of the hammer, every rake of the trowel, everything. Every time I tied my shoes, Lord, thank you for letting me tie my shoes today. I'm going to double knot it because I'm doing this as unto you. Have I done that my whole life? Has anybody? Have I spoke truth? Have I ever told half-truths? Boy, you can get a whole lot of work done that benefits me if I tell half-truths, don't you? I have. This is every one of us. This is every man, woman, child born of Adam that's ever come onto the face of this earth. I'm just the preacher and I get to wear it out loud. And that's okay. This ain't me, is it? There in Matthew 22 we read, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 2 here in Psalm 15 is nothing but to the Lord. Walking uprightly, working righteousness, speaking truth in the heart. That benefits man around him. That's serving God. That's believing Him, loving Him. And what about this neighbor as ourselves, loving them? Verse 3, he that backbiteth not with his tongue. Verse 2 is all you got to do this. Now here's what you can't do. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Who's going to go to heaven? Who's going to be able to be in the presence of the Lord? A person that has never, does not now, nor will ever backbite. What's that mean? They're saying something behind somebody's back. They ain't got the nerve to say it to their face, and so they whisper, hey, you know about so-and-so? They uncover things. You know about that sin? I hate to say nothing. We just looked at Noah and his boys. What happened with him when Noah got drunk and failed? And I don't want to say nothing, but that's backbiting. A person that's never done evil to his neighbor. What's that mean? Bring harm, bring confusion, bring doubt. Not lift up his friend. Have there ever been a time in my life I've said something behind somebody's back? Or that I brought evil to my neighbor in any way. That also means to do it to the face. So why? I like them good enough. I'm a big enough man. I won't go behind their back. I'll tell you to your face. It includes that too. That's doing evil to our neighbor. Maybe once I've done that. If you know me well, I've done that a lot. Spoke plainly when I shouldn't have. Hurt. Went to kill. Wound with a half-truth. Or take up reproach against his neighbor. That means listen to someone else say something. To give ear. I don't want to say nothing but, oh really? Huh. Well, when did that happen? I'm just asking for information. That's taking it up. Someone that serves the Lord in life and deed and word and heart, and someone that truly loves their neighbor as themselves. Truly. They have a holy nature. Verse 4 says, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he that honoreth them that fear the Lord. Have I done that? In whose eyes a vile person is contemned. That means condemned, disgusted, hated, not approved of. Have I ever seen something vile and not condemned it? You ever listen to a dirty joke or something, you're like, well, I ought not laugh at that, but that's kind of funny. It's not condemning it, is it? You ever been into murder mystery novels or those TV shows? Who did it? You're watching murder, trying to find out who it is. Have I done that? Yeah. And it says, but he that honoreth them that fear the Lord. Have I truly honored those that fear the Lord? If a man or woman tells me, I believe God, I fear Him. Have I went out of my way to protect them, to walk in backwards, to cover them up, to do anything I could to support them, to be kind to them, to give them a word of encouragement? Have I honored them that feared the Lord? I have. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Worldly, practically, I'm going to tell you what that means. If you ever have a contract for something, I've seen this happen one time. It was an accident, but it's a funny story. It means that I'm going to make sure I hurt worse than those I deal with, and I'm never going to change it. Initially, that's what that means. It also means that if I go into a contract with someone in business or whatever, and then I find out, wait a second, I said I was going to buy this patch of land, but it don't perk. It ain't got no well water on it. A septic won't drain. I can't build on it. I'm going to back out. No. You said you was going to buy it. You buy it. I had an uncle that was getting his bathroom remodeled one time, and he had in his head, I'm not paying over $2,000. Well, he had an honest man come in, and he priced it, did everything exactly the way he wanted. He said, I can do it for $1,500. He said, I ain't giving you a penny less than $2,000. Now you'll hush and take it. And he realized, that man came to him and said, no, sir. He goes, I know what happened, and I'll stand by my price. I'll fix your bathroom for that amount of money. He said, no, I open my big mouth. It's going to hurt me, but I'm going to stand by it. And worldly, that's respectable. But to swear to their own hurt and change not. Have I ever done anything that benefited me? If you're going to buy a car and you say, they're asking $10,000 for it, and you say, no, I'm going to give you $12,000 because it's the right thing to do. Have I ever not done that? Have I ever done it? Whew. He that putteth, verse 5 says, he that putteth not out his money to usury. You ever put your money in a checking account? Or that's interest bearing? You ever invested in a stock market? You ever looked into a 401k? Trying to get some usury? Nor taketh reward against the innocent. You ever take a gift from somebody that didn't owe you already? It also means take a bribe. Have you ever took a bribe against innocent? Well, every time I think of bribes, I always think of financial things. But somebody asked me to do something, I don't feel like doing that. And I said, well, we can help you out here, or we can put your name in the paper. Oh, well, tell me more about it. That's taking a bribe. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Is that me? Who's going to go to heaven? The Lord just told you everything's required. Is that me? Is that Kevin Thacker? In this flesh standing before you, absolutely not. In this flesh, born of Adam, coming from my mother's womb, speaking lies, this ain't me. Who is not going to go to heaven? According to God's word, in my flesh, by myself, not me. But this text only speaks of one man. There's only one man that's ever walked this earth upright, pure, holy. This text speaks of Christ. He's that holy, perfect man. In our flesh, we've never done any of these things. We've never kept any of these things. In His flesh, as the God-man, born of a virgin, He knew no sin. He was tempted in all points, just like we are, yet without sin. In His flesh, He was perfect. Perfect. It says in verse 2, "He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart." He walks uprightly. He lived uprightly. Can you imagine the Father watching him? Watching our Lord, our substitute, walk this earth. Watch him be a teenager. Watch him build something. Watch him preach. How pleased he was at all times with him. While he slept, he got tired. While he was weary, the Father looked at him and said, "Look at him. Perfect. He liveth uprightly. He walketh uprightly. He worketh righteousness." That is to work unto the Lord under the law in complete perfection, all while having a pure heart to do so. And it's not just keeping the law. You have to agree with it. This law is good. You can never eat a medium well steak or you'll die and go to hell. Good. Yes, Lord. That's brilliant. I can't wait to not eat a medium well steak. He had a pure heart. Never had a sour look on his face because his truth was in his heart. I thought about that a lot the last couple of months. I don't have micro expressions. I have macro expressions. Somebody says something. Oh, I can't believe you said that. Don't think that way. That's horrible. The Lord never went, not evilly. Never happened. He never did it. Truth was in him. It says in John 8, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." That's his words. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I always do the things that please the Father." And he did. All the time. He was holy. There was no sin in him. He told later on there in John 8, "Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why don't you believe me?" Can you convince the Lord of sin that what he's done is wrong or talk him into doing something wrong? It's impossible. Truth is in him. He's upright. The only works he has is righteousness. He spoke only truth. He never lied to another human being. He never lied to the Father, and he never lied to himself. Now, I wrote that, and I put, who can even imagine that? I can't explain that because I can have words to kind of describe it, but I don't know what that looks like. That ain't me. He told the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Always. Always. He spoke the truth in his heart. He said, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he's your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him." He said, "I know God. I know the Father. He's my Father. He's the one that sent me. And if I should say, I know him not," if he was to lie and say, I don't know who God is. I don't know who the Father is. He said, "I should be a liar like unto you." I love listening to our Lord speak to people sometimes. He said, "If I spoke like you, I'd be a liar like you. But I ain't like you." He said, "I know him." He said, "But I know him and I keep his sayings." He keeps his word. He keeps the word of the Father. Verse 3 says, "He that backbiteth slander, not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor." Like Shem and Japheth, we looked at a couple weeks ago. They covered the sin. Their father. They honored the Father and they didn't publish it. They didn't expose it. Christ didn't come into this world to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. We did a fine job ourselves of doing that. He came to save and seek the lost. He came to save His people from their sins. He doesn't need to slander anyone. He came to save them. When Satan slanders and backbites Christ's sheep, he won't hear it. Oh, what good news that is. He won't hear it. Somebody has something negative to say. Nope, I don't want to hear it. Stop. We're not talking about that. For his sheep, there's nothing to slander. There's no sin to expose. That's a deep thought, isn't it? It said in Hebrews 2, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for the which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." That's my brother. That's my sister. That's what Christ says to his people, of his people. That great accuser comes and says, "You know what they did? You know what Kimberly Thacker did?" He said, "That's my sister. You hush. I don't want to hear it." There in John 8, we read about that woman caught in adultery. You can tell I read through John 8 quite a bit the last couple of days. But that woman was caught in adultery, and those men brought her, those Pharisees, and said, "Here, let's take her to the Lord. We caught her red-handed. What are you going to do about it? Here she is. Here's what she did. Here's her sin. What are you going to do?" And so you know what he did? He sat down in the sand. He started writing. Started writing under. What did he write? I don't know, but it was effectual. Probably the sins of each one of those Pharisees. And that one man went over and read it. He said, "Ooh, I'm out of here." The second one went over, and the third one, and the fourth one, until all of them went over and said, "What did this man write?" And they all left. And he looked at that woman and said, "Woman, where are your accusers? Because the scriptures say you can't hear a word against anyone that's got two or three witnesses, right? By the mouth of two or three." And he said, "Woman, where's your accusers? Is there two or three of them around here?" She said, "Lord, they're gone. They ain't here." And he said, "I don't accuse you either. Go on home. Be gone." He says in verse 4, "In whose eyes of all person is contemned, is hated, disashamed, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord." David wrote in Psalm 45, "Thy throne, O God, is forever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." He hates vileness. And he honors those that fear God. What a thought. Perfectly. Perfectly he does. He said, "I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Here at the end of verse 4, this is the gospel. We're about to read this as children of God. We see this as the law. Man can't keep it. You're hopeless to be in and of yourself in front of a holy God you offended. We see this as Christ. He's fully kept all of it. Fully. But we're going to read this as children of God. How is it possible that I could read any of that? Either the verse 2, serving the Lord, verse 3, serving others, having a pure, just heart that honors those that honor the Lord and that hates wickedness. Truly. How could I read that as myself? The gospel has to take place. Here's the gospel, end of verse 4. "He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not." We know that's speaking of the Lord. He's the Lord, he changes not. "But he that sweareth to his own hurt." No matter what it cost him, he gave his word and he sticks to it. But what does that truly translate to us? Before time began, we read over in Psalm 2, the Lord said, "You ask of me," speaking to the Son, he said, "and I'll give you of these heathen," of these one that can't keep the law, that ain't going to honor me, "and you'll be their surety." You're going to swear an oath. A covenant of grace is what you're going to enter into. And you're going to stand on behalf of them people. You're going to be born on behalf of them. You're going to live on behalf of them. You're going to die on behalf of them. You're going to be risen again on behalf of them. And you're going to give every bit of it to them. And it's going to hurt. It's going to cost your life. You're going to hang on Calvary's tree. And you're going to bear the shame. You're going to bear all the guilt. You're going to bear all the cost. And you're going to pay it in your blood. And it ain't going to change. It ain't going to be undone. Well, now we're getting somewhere, ain't we? What's the cost of all that grace? That's what that is. That's grace. He loved an undeserving people that did not merit it. Nothing. It's those that were enemies against him, that were at war with him, God-hating rebels. And he said, "I will swear unto my own hurt for them." Now, what do I have to do to get that? What do you have to do to get that? Look at verse 5. "He that putteth not out his money to usury." you ain't an investment. That's that quid pro quo. The Lord didn't say, I'm going to be gracious to you, but now you're going to pay me back. I'm going to get something out of this. That wouldn't be gracious, was it? No. That's at a cost. That's not free. That's not a free gift. He gave this grace. He gave Himself for His people freely, without usury. Nor taketh reward against the innocent. He won't take a bribe. You can't bribe Him. And you can't give Him a reward. And boy, ain't you thankful. You ain't got nothing to give Him. Somebody told my pastor, said, I gave my heart to Jesus. I said, what do you want that thing? I want your old heart. If He wants you, if He wants a heart in you, He's going to put one in you. It'll be His. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that walked perfectly. He's the one that abides in heaven. He is seated at His right, the right hand of the Father, and He ain't going to move. That's His rightful throne. And there'll come a day He'll come to judgment to judge this world. And we will be either judged in Him or against Him. That's only two ways. Somebody's going to stand before God in judgment. You're either going to stand on your own merit or on the merit of another. He's worthy. I'd bow to Him. I'd bow to Him. How can we read this as us? Well, we have to be one with Him. I'll try to go quick. It says in verse 1, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in the holy hill? Who's going to be with you, Lord? Who's going to be in heaven? He that walketh uprightly. Do you want to walk uprightly? Do you want to sin? I get accused of that all the time. I said, you just go out and rob banks. It's all you got to do with money. I don't want to rob a bank. I want to walk uprightly. I want to serve the Lord. And worketh righteousness. I want to work as unto the Lord because I'm working to Him. If He put something in my hand to do, He's the one that gave it. And I want to do it the best I can. It's going to be horrible. It's going to be shameful. But I want to because of what Christ did for me. He laid down His life for me. I want to honor the Father. And speaketh truth in His heart. I don't want to lie to nobody. And I sure ain't going to do it to the gospel. As the Lord keeps me, I'm going to tell the truth about man to man, and I'm going to tell the truth about God to man, who He is. And this is serious business. I'm going to tell the truth on Him. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up reproach against his neighbor. I don't want to hear anything bad about anybody. I would that all men would be saved. Truly. I truly do. That's been pressed on me more and more as the years go on. My bitter, most worst enemies, I spend a lot of time hating them. Oh, boy, if I catch them in a dark alley. If I could get away with it, what I'd do. And then the Lord pierces my heart and says, oh, if God would save them. If He would save them. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned. But He honoreth them that fear the Lord. Oh, I want to. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. I want to give myself to those that fear the Lord. I want to give myself to them. And I don't want to change in that. I want Him to keep me, as He promised me He will, serving Him and His people. And I do want, I don't want to condemn those that are vile. I don't want to make excuses for sin, for anyone's sin. It's wrong. Stop. Don't do that. It's bad. And those that hate the gospel, I pray for them. Love hopes all things. I hope the Lord do a work in them. But that makes me so sick. People say, oh, well, them people, they left, but they're believers. They hate God. No, they ain't. That's my brother, my sister. Hey, mine. Maybe you got the same father they do. But I pray the Lord to bring them back. If somebody openly hates the gospel, I don't want to support that person. I don't want to put my two cents behind them. I want to support those that fear God, that love Him, that He's made not to change. And He putteth out His money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. I never want to take a bribe. You can't buy the Lord's people. They ain't going to give Him up. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. He that stands serving the Lord, finishes the race serving His people, loving Christ, loving the brethren, changing not, steadfast, recipients of grace, they're not going to be moved. How is that possible? Christ is the only one that ever lived that way because we're one with Him. We're one with Him. when he went to John to be baptized, he said, John, you're going to baptize me. Put yourself in John's shoes. I'd answer the same way. Lord, I need you to baptize me. What are you talking about? He said, suffer it to be so. He goes, everything you see going on, you don't think it's right, John. This don't add up. This seems just backwards to you. Hush and do it. Suffer it to be so. And then he told him why. He said, because it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. That one that fulfills righteousness, that worketh righteousness, that's lived perfectly his whole life, that's never done anything bad to somebody. He said, John, it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. Because we're made one with him. Just as Levi paid tithes in the loins of Abraham, his great-grandson. He didn't pay no tithes. Well, just as Abraham did it, Levi did it. Just as Christ did it, as he lived. We are made one with him in that covenant of grace. Before time, he paid for in his blood. We've done it. We've done it. Lord, when we see you hungry, when we see you thirsty, every one of them did it. Every one of his children did it. Who's going to heaven? There's three things you got to do. Man can't do it. Here's the answer for us of David's question. Lord, who can be with you? With man, it's impossible. With man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. Three things you must do, three things you can't do. Then there's holiness, there's graciousness, and the cost of it all. He says, he that putteth not out his money for usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. What's another scripture that reminds us of that? Come, eat, buy without price. There's no money. You're going to purchase it. It's going to come to you. It's going to be yours, but there's no price. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Does that mean he that doeth these things is going to walk with the Lord now? This sojourn, this abiding with the Lord in His presence briefly? Or does that mean he that doeth these things will never be moved in being with Him forever? It's the same. It's the same. Our life that He's given is eternal. As He is now, so are we in this world. That's what His Word says, doesn't it? Right now, that new creation that He's put in His people is holy, unreprovable, without blame, before Him in love, right now. What do you think is going to happen in eternity? Something going to change? No. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. A person that reads this, and with an honest heart says, this ain't me. You read that, that's who's going to go to heaven. It ain't me. It ain't me. And they have to cry out to God because our flesh can't satisfy Him. And we say, Lord, our only hope is Your Son. Christ is our only hope. He must stand in my place. Not halfway. Not be a co-pilot. Not try to help me out some. It's got to be all Him. And none of me. The person that cries that out says, this is Christ. He's the only thing accepted. Lord, I need Him. I need to be with Him. Where is He? They're a new creation. Old man can't do that. Old man won't. Won't cry out, He's Lord. He's a ruler of all things. He's perfect in every way. New man will. That's all it can cry. Who's going to heaven? Those in Christ. That's our hope. And He is our heaven. It's a person. What qualifies a poor, worthless sinner to go be with God in glory? Christ does. What's glory going to be? Christ dwelling with Him. We can live with Him. We can eat dinner. That's going to ruin a whole lot of people. Say, oh, I want to go to heaven. If you knew what heaven was, you probably wouldn't. It's a person. You're going to spend a lot of time with Him. He's going to preach to you. Go worship with, sing with you. Sing. Can you imagine that? Our Redeemer coming to us and saying, you hungry? You don't need no money. I made you dinner. Let's eat. You want to sing a song? I'm going to preach to you for a little bit. What an amazing time it'd be. Who's fit to be there? Those in Him. I want to be in Him. And I want to be with Him. Do you? Amen.